It's the Friday edition of the Audible. We're perched inside here, inside the bubble. Joining me from the Miami Herald, Armando Salguero, been covering the Miami Dolphins for a long time. You can catch him at the Miami Herald or on Twitter at Armando Salguero and keep up with everything that he does and keeps as close to this football team as anyone around here. And another big game. And Armando, we got the Tampa Bay Bucks coming to Hard Rock Stadium Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. The Tampa Bay is a football team that's struggling. Their main quarterback is out.
He's in trouble too, Bo.
3-6, right? They're 3-6 coming into this football game. But this football team is in flux right now too, trying to find their way. And you had an article today about how important this football game is to this team. And I agree with you. I mean, as a football team, as the guys in that locker room, they've got to think one game at a time, and you can't look back and you got to look forward. But you and I and a lot of them, and most people have the opportunity or the willingness to let's take a look at the whole, including what's been passed, and try to judge future based on history, which is I think what most people would try to do. You look at this game coming forward, and you say this game may be the penultimate game for this football team as far as winning, because if they don't win this football game, their chances of grabbing one of those playoff spots, and granted, in a year where it looks like out of the AFC, you may get a 9-win team grab a wild card spot, the last wild card spot out there. If they don't get this job, if they don't get the job done on Sunday, then it is a monumental climb to pick up. Because in essence, they need to pick up five. They would need to win five games out of the six remaining games if they don't win this football game.
Well, also, Bo, you got to understand. So if they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which in my estimation, they should. Yep. They're at home. The Bucs are 3-6. They're starting their backup quarterback. They should do that. And that'll give them, being the Dolphins, a chance to go on to the next game. Yes. And then the next game and the next game. But if they lose...
Yep.
Now you've lost four games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those games were, or three of those games would have been against teams with losing records.
Yep.
You have all the problems that caused those losses, and your reward for all of that is you get to go to New England.
To visit up to New England. Where
you haven't won since 2008.
Yep.
They're not going to win that game after losing four in a row to the teams that they just lost to. And so if that scenario plays out, they're 4-7.
Yeah.
And they still have to play New England again. They still have to go to Buffalo. They still have to go to Kansas City. Yep. The season's over.
Well,
it's done.
It's not over, but obviously it would take a monumental change by them to do it.
A team would have to show up.
The question is, following up on that, is any win in the National Football League is tough, no doubt. Even if it's a Buccaneer team that's had their problems, Jameis Winston's not there, and may not be there for a while with what seems to be going on these days. Just got the note that Winston's accused of groping an Uber driver. NFL is investigating that. I was funny because it's not funny, but I was doing a radio show this morning with somebody, and they were talking about all the Hollywood people, and now. Political people that get involved in these incidents, and someone says, "Man, it's interesting. You know, no, we haven't heard that from anybody in the NFL." Well, I guess that's on the table now. So
not just the NFL, sports.
Sports in general.
Yeah,
yes,
it's
yes.
coming.
Yeah, it's coming. So anyway, when you look at this football team, based on what we've seen, you have belief they can get things turned around. You believe that one win can give them momentum. To feel good about their day. And in essence, going up, say you go, we know how difficult it is to win in New England. There are times where the Dolphins have played good halves there, usually pretty good first halves at times, only to kind of get swamped in the second half. So they've had some success to that degree up there, but it's a tough place to play. Well, a win against the Buccaneers on Sunday, and an effort that you can walk away from feeling, hey, you know what, they played well in New England, had a chance to beat a very good football team, maybe didn't quite get over the hump. You feel that that scenario plays well for this football team if that's what happens over the next 2 weeks?
I feel like the scenario that plays well is the Dolphins win on Sunday.
Yep.
They beat a team. Their confidence level, which right now, you know, I just came out of the locker room. I don't feel like the confidence level of this team is where it should
be,
or it needs to be. But a win can change it like that.
Yes.
They can turn it on. And let's be honest. There have been small signs amid the problems of the last 3 weeks that suggest that improvement is coming.
Yep.
It just hasn't popped to the point where they've won a game.
Yep.
If that continues and they actually win a game, then you can hope, then you can think, they will certainly hope that it's on the right path and they're on their way up. And I wouldn't doubt, you know, they still have historically and still today match up well against the Pats.
Yep.
So do I see a blowout at New England if they get things addressed? No, I don't.
Yep.
Do I see a victory? You know, it hasn't happened again since 2008. That's hard to predict.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, things happen, and you know, that's why you play these games. And, you know, it's funny. I was in a line with a guy yesterday at some place, and he was asking me, hey, what's going to happen with the Dolphins this week? I said, man, if I could tell you. I said, I got no idea. I said, and he kept going, no, you know. I go, look, I don't know.
You know the score.
I know. I go, well, look, I thought they were going to win last week. He goes, well, you go, yeah, but that didn't happen. I go, yeah. I go, well, all right, they're going to win this week. He goes, I don't think they will. I said, well, then why are you asking me? You know?
Like an Abbott and Costello thing.
Exactly. So, anyway, it's one of those situations. But this is a football team in desperate need of getting things together. And, you know, when you look at this football team, I think when you look at the guys on the roster, you see skill, you see some talent, but it just hasn't reared its head for really any extent of time during the whole course of this season. You know, you've seen it at times in comeback wins and, you know, against Arizona or against Atlanta early in the season, against the Jets, you know, here. You've seen this team mount some quarters, maybe a half every now and then. But to get this football team playing four good quarters of football, I think they need that kind of a game on Sunday. Come away with a win, play four good quarters of football, offensively, defensively, and special teams, and then you can kind of push all of this garbage that's been, you know, kind of floating around this football team in the way that they've played, maybe push that behind and start looking forward and be more optimistic as a football team and be a little bit more, you know, believe a little bit more that they've got an opportunity to win.
You know, they're surprised, and I just mentioned we came out of the locker room. They're surprised at what's been happening. I just talked to Cameron Wake, and he was saying, we look at our defensive line, which you everybody knows. That's what the defense is built around, that offensive line. A lot of high draft picks, a lot of money spent on that unit. They are surprised that they haven't played up to their own expectations.
Right.
And I asked him, well, why is that? And his answer was, if I knew the answer of why,
we would fix it.
Yeah, exactly. So they're struggling to find reasons for their struggles.
Yeah.
And at some point, you know, you only get a finite amount of time to find the reasons and fix them.
Well, and no one in this league is going to wait for you to get things fixed before.
Correct.
Hey, we'll give you another couple of days to practice so you're feeling better about yourself. And we'll play on Tuesday this week.
They need to find the time. Now.
Right now.
Now is the time.
Yeah. It's getting that point. Let's get a couple questions in here. Periscope question from Koleska. Hey, guys, have teams figured out our defense and are just copying at this point? I don't think it's about scheme. I don't think it's about other teams figuring out. And this is – I mean, this is kind of paints with a broad brush, at least as far as it seems to me. But I just think this team hasn't executed well on either side of the football on a continual basis – on a consistent basis since the season began. I think at times you've seen good things out of the offense, but very inconsistent. I think for a good stretch, really up until the last couple of weeks, or really until I guess you go back to the 40-0 game in Baltimore, you had a defense that was playing pretty well. You know, even against the Raiders. I mean, you put those guys in third and long situations continually in the first half. However, they were able to convert on the third and long situations that didn't allow them to win the football game. But I think on each side of the ball, you've seen sparks. You've seen, you know, glimpses of this team being able to do some things. But they kind of come, and as soon as they come, they kind of fall back in the wayside, and you don't see them anymore.
So on defense, what we have is you have one guy on one play making a mistake, and so another guy, a teammate, sees that and wants to cover for that guy. Now you have two guys out of position because the guy who is covering for the first guy, he's not where he needs to be.
Yep.
So he didn't solve that issue, and he created a brand new issue. It's about discipline oftentimes.
Very much about discipline.
It's about cohesion. You know, years and years ago, the Dolphins defensive coordinator, Arnsberger, he had a photo of his defensive players on one tackle.
Right.
There was eight guys
around
making
the ball,
the tackle.
Right.
Eight guys.
Yeah.
It's a team. It's a team issue. Yeah. I don't have to tell you that. You play defense. And so if one or two guys are out of place, if they're trying to cover for each other, if they're not disciplined, if they're not playing as a whole, there's holes.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
You know, one thing about playing defense is you have to be willing to know that you're not going to make the play.
That's interesting.
In other words, if I'm a defensive end and my job is to get upfield and force the ball inside, then if I get upfield, I'm not going to make the play. But by forcing the ball inside, it allows the guy inside to make the play. Whereas if the defensive lineman never gets up the field and is trying to kind of sees the guy dipping inside, so he jumps inside, guy bounces out, boom, you still didn't make the play, but now the guy's 20 yards down the field, 10 yards down the field, whatever. So, you know, to me, you have to be unselfish to a degree on defense to know that, hey, maybe the best thing for me to do on this play is not to worry about making the tackle, but put myself in a position where it forces that guy. We used to call it to force him back to where the cavalry's coming, you know. Don't let him get outside where there's nobody out there. Force him back inside where the cavalry's all coming from the inside out, and you do that. And so in those situations, you just have to say, hey, look, it's just the way it is. I'm just going to be the guy that does this, and I'll come by and I'll give you a high five when you make the tackle.
And by the way.
And that's how it works.
By the way, and on the rare occasion that guy decides, I'm not doing this after all, I'm going back outside.
Right.
You're there.
That's right.
So,
well, and that's what, you know, it's.
If you had decided I'm going to join in it in the fun, now you leave an open, open spot,
you know,
and the guy can take advantage of that.
You see it all the time. A guy in a defensive tackle decides he wants to throw an arm over and get penetration. Gets penetration, the guy pushes him side, and there's the hole between the tackle and the defensive end, and it's a mile wide for him to run through. And it's just – you know, those are things. And look, the other thing when you look at this football team defensively, you know, they've got to start tackling better. But I'll give you this, the caveat I would throw to that is nobody in this league is tackling well. You know, they do – there is very little opportunity to practice tackling in this league. So if you don't ever practice it, how do you expect it to be good on game day? And I'm not just talking about this football team. I'm talking about every team in the league. You watch these games, and sometimes you see guys, they never get themselves in position to make tackle. They're reaching out. They're doing all these types of things. And so that I guess, is just a byproduct of the collective bargaining agreement and the way the practices are set up throughout this National Football League.
So here's my problem with that. How come we don't see a lot of people missing tackles against the Dolphins? I want to see a team just be – totally inept tackling against Miami's offense. I haven't seen that yet this year.
Well, you know, Miami's offense, to me, the struggles with the Dolphin offense is getting through the first wave of the line of scrimmage. You know, they're getting tackled. They're in situations like you. They try to run a play between the guard and the tackle. And when they get there, there's three guys waiting for them.
Yeah.
Right? They've closed. They've squeezed it down. They're there. And, you know, you're not going to miss a tackle when you got three guys standing around the football. Open field, guys make moves. They'll miss tackles. But if you're, you know, in close quarters, you got to find a way to get past that first wave and get into the second level and then hopefully get to the third level where the big plays come from. But you're right. No, I mean, the majority of times – I mean, how many times this year – And look, this was the same situation last year, whereas this team, how many times after first down you're staring at first and 11, first and 12, I mean second and 11, second and 12, maybe second and 9, second and 8 at best, and now you're in a situation where you play into their hands, they can start putting pressure on you, and you find yourself next time in third and long, and then you, and those are – Those have been very, very difficult for this football team to overcome.
Well, that's why they're trying to change or at least establish an identity on offense.
Yep.
To whereas, look, this offense this year is not going to be bombs away. Dan yep. Marino's not going to walk through those doors. But they're trying to 4 yards on first down. Maybe 5 yards
well,
on second
it.
Down, and then get into third yeah. and manageable.
If you can get 4 yards a down, if you can get 4 yards a down, they're positive. They're all positive.
Right.
You know, it's when you get when, you know when you
third
get
third and 12. Yeah.
When you get stopped for on first down, and it's second and 12, third and 14, those kind of situations. You can't. You know, once in a while you're going to overcome those, but for a
right.
steady diet, and it just seems like offensively that has been the diet. Of this offense, always find yourself in long situations, whether it's second long, third and long, sometimes first and long because you jump offside, you get a penalty, or first and 10, first and 20, with a holding or something. I mean, it's been a continual series of those kind of things going on, and that all comes back to me. It all comes back to discipline, like you talked about, discipline on the offensive line, discipline on the defensive line, discipline with running backs going to where they're supposed to go. But receivers knowing who they're supposed to block, tight ends knowing who they're supposed to block, guys making plays, catching balls when they're supposed to catch them, not drop. It's all those things. It's just been a continuum of different things. And I think that's what makes it difficult for the coaching staff and for the players to put a finger on why we're in the situation we're in right now, because it's been so many different things that have occurred week in and week out.
Yeah, you mentioned the false starts. There is nothing that's more frustrating yeah. to the coaching staff than, all right, guys, we've got a brand new set of downs. Yeah. Let's go out there. Let's do some damage. And then on first down, somebody jumps offside. Yeah. Somebody starts before the snap count that you know. Yeah. Somebody messes it up or somebody lines up, you know, offsides yep. or something like that. That's just a killer.
Yeah, it is tough. Let me give you some here we go. El Chapo Jr. Armando, how does the first half of the season compare to other seasons in your years covering the team?
It's interesting because okay, so the other night, Bo, I'm going to be very frank with you, when it was 31-7 mm-hmm. or so, I stopped watching the game.
Right.
I started looking at effort.
Yep.
I don't care whether the team is moving the ball or the defense is playing well. I care whether there's effort
right.
or if players are giving up.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had seen players giving up, I would know this season is
right.
over.
Right.
That's it. Once yep. teams give up, we're done.
Yep.
Let's move on to the draft. The Dolphins did not give up.
Right.
So this season is different in that regard, in that there's been adversity. There's been hard times, especially lately with
yep.
three consecutive losses, and yet the team has not given up.
Yep.
The players are still engaged. They're still fighting. And I haven't seen – I certainly didn't see that with a previous coach and other coaches
right.
before that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think effort's been – I think the only game I would say – and I wouldn't even say that was lack of effort. I would say it's just
– Baltimore?
Playing on a Thursday night is just – you know, road games on Thursday nights for that's it, to me. It's I would chime along with the players. It's ridiculous playing these Thursday night games. It's just so difficult for teams on the road to play in those games. Now I understand. Look, I understand why. I understand the whys.
Johnny
and the
Manziel.
I understand the whys and the wherefores. It just makes it tough on guys, and so you get sloppy games, and you get.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at guys. See guys running around on Thursday nights, and they can barely get from point A to point B. Because they're so beat up, you know? I mean, it's just a fact of life in this league. Let me get some injury report. William Hayes, full practice today, still listed as questionable. Sonoris Perry, knee, full practice. He's listed as questionable. Kenny Stills didn't practice. Questionable. I guess he hurt his back yesterday in practice. Don't know what the status of that is.
He's playing.
Well,
so he, in the locker room, a couple of reporters went up to him. And Kenny Stills gave the big thumbs up.
He's playing.
To playing.
There you go. Michael Thomas, knee, limited practice, questionable. And that's the injury report for right now. So I would assume every one of those guys that I've mentioned will play in the game.
I would assume so.
Facebook, Brian Gamblin, do you think we should trade some of our veterans for some extra draft picks? I don't think it's time right now. I think the trading
deadline's
over.
Passed,
you can't
yeah.
do anything. But I don't think – you know, that comes to the question, you know, and I've talked to a lot of people over the course of the week, you know, and you know, there are the those that come up, they just need to get rid of the whole team. They need to get rid of everybody and start from scratch. I don't think this football team is in that situation. But I think you certainly need to start looking at this roster and deciding how do you get this roster to a situation where you're more comfortable, where you have guys that understand, where you don't have to pare down your offense to make guys understand it, where you can open up your playbook and do the things you want to do and make the changes at the line of scrimmage without worrying if everyone's going to be on the same page. I think that's certainly something that I would expect that's going on up in the front office now with the Mike Tannenbaums and Chris Greer and the scouts and all those types of things, is just trying to start some evaluation on football players and you know, who they want to bring back and who they want to move on from.
Right. Well, when this season began, we knew – okay. I knew they weren't going to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Okay? And that's a crazy, crazy assumption, but I don't think that anyone picked the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl. The Dolphins are a building team. They are trying to build while competing, but they have a flaw. They have flaws.
Yep.
I didn't think it was as bad as this currently we're seeing, but the season's not over yet. So, yes, there are issues within the roster that still need to be addressed, that still need to be improved. I think that, honestly, not enough attention has been paid to the interior offensive line. I think that maybe that will change going forward. But, obviously, this is not a complete team, and no one expected it to be a complete team when the season began. I mean, we're just fooling ourselves if we were thinking – we're going to go up and, you know, I mean, I get it. There was talk of sweeping the Patriots, but,
Look,
that wasn't realistic.
Yeah, no, but I don't think, like you said, no one expected this. I think everyone had pretty high hopes of this football team. And I'm not talking about high hopes in Super Bowl. Look, you know, you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. But I think this team, I think most people expected this team to at least be at a point where they're challenged for a playoff spot or having another playoff spot with an opportunity to maybe win a football game in the playoffs based on what they did last year. Then you get the Ryan Tannehill injury, then you get the Ted Larson injury, then you get Raekwon McMillan injury, and you get all these things that happen that go on, and you're trying to find a quarterback, and he's got to get used to the system. So there's a lot of things that happened to this football team this year that were unexpected, and a lot of things that were just, bizarre to say the least.
That's a good word.
That have hampered this football team in their progress. But, I mean, all that stuff doesn't – really, to me, it doesn't give you reason for the disjointed play that they've had. I'm going to say post the third or fourth game of the season.
They were 4-2
Yes.
At one point, and I was thinking, okay, now they've got the footing under them. We're going to see something, you know, take off from here.
Yeah.
Obviously, it went in another direction so far. So there are issues.
Let me ask you a question here. Other than the fact that we're wearing the same kind of a matching shirt that we didn't.
Thank you for the memo.
Yeah. You know, hey, I follow up with what I'm supposed to do. Wear the same type of shirt as you and keep it that way. But this football team right now, I kind of lost my train of thought when I started talking about my shirt.
The stripes, they'll kill you every time.
Yeah. Anyway, Facebook, Vasily Devros, hard to evaluate a team when we don't have our starters. Well, this team has their starters. I mean, Ryan, I know what I was going to get to. So when I looked at the question, it popped in my mind, Ryan Tannehill. Let me ask you this. Does this season and what's been going on with this offense, which looks completely different than this offense when Ryan Tannehill was running it last year, at least in my mind, a lot more effective offense when Ryan Tannehill was running this offense. Does that lead you to believe that when Ryan Tannehill comes back, this thing is going to fall back into place a little more than what we've seen so far through the course of the season here?
Okay, so when Ryan Tannehill went out, all of a sudden they replace him with Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler is not a read option threat.
Right.
He's not.
You take that out of the game.
They take that out of the game. All of a sudden people know that when Jay Cutler is turning around and the ball goes to Jay Ajayi.
It's not staying in his hands.
He's not going to leak out the side.
Right.
Jay Ajayi is going to run it, so he's the key. So now Jay Ajayi is getting destroyed on every play because everyone knows now Jay Ajayi is the guy. Yeah. So now Jay Ajayi is upset because he's not getting any chances like he got last year. 200-yard games are not coming. Yep. And so now Jay Ajayi is gone. So now you don't have Ryan Tannehill or Jay Ajayi. Right. So your running game just got either traded or is on injured reserve. So, yeah, it's different. There's no doubt that it's different.
Yeah, but that's not the point. Point I'm making is – you know, when I look at Ryan Tannehill, I look at Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler has his positives to his game. He has his negatives to his game. Ryan's a little bit more conservative a quarterback, conservative to a fault at times where he would tend to hold on to the ball too much rather than get it out there waiting for someone to come available or run. But he's got the ability to run. I think he proved over the last couple of years he's got the ability to throw the ball downfield and look at the effects last year. This was a football team that had a lot of big plays, that threw deep balls downfield and had success doing that.
Why?
Because he had the ability to run. The running game was going better. Your play action became workable. Your middle game became workable, and the deep threat became workable. But all that also comes with part of being Ryan Tannehill, too, and what he did in the field. I just think that a healthy Ryan Tannehill coming back would be a big elixir for this offense next year. Maybe I'm premature in looking at that, but I just, to me, what we're seeing now makes the evaluation of what Ryan Tannehill did last year a better evaluation of him as a quarterback on this football team.
I think that we're going to see a different running game next year.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Ryan Tannehill most likely will be the quarterback of this team next year. They are going to add a number one running back.
Yep.
We know that that's going to happen. And so all of a sudden, the same sort of dynamic that you had last year where you had the fourth leading rusher. Mm-hmm. Remember, this team took off last year when all of a sudden they weren't ground and pound, but they were less Ryan Tannehill, less passing game,
and
more
of a
running
physical,
game.
Physical, tough running football team. Yes.
Larry Zonka was
wearing
going,
people
yeah,
down.
I like that approach.
They wore people down in the fourth quarter. They were starting.
Exactly.
They were making hay.
The
in
defense
the fourth
was
quarter.
Rested.
Yes, the defense was rested, and the offense was wearing down the other team's defense through the course of the game. You go book and look. Some of the longest runs of last season came in the third and fourth quarter.
Yes.
From this football team because teams were worn down from the continual pounding. That they got at the line of scrimmage. I agree with that. Periscope, Bo, is this a common theme, struggling linebackers? We always seem to struggle at linebacker in coverage. Well, it seemed really up until the last three games, I thought the linebackers did a good job in coverage. The last couple from Oakland to last week, completely different thing. I thought, Oakland kind of struck, especially with Jared Cook, who just torched them early in the game. Zone. I think they only played one man-to-man. They're only in man-to-man one time in all the catches that he had in that game. Kiko was on him in zone coverages most of the time, also in the man-to-man situation, one-to-one situation when they're in man-to-man. But I think prior to that, Armando, I remember teams last year running those little halfback options out there, a little halfback, and the guy'd catch the ball and it'd be 8 yards down the field before someone hit him. Mm-hmm. This year that seemed to change with Timmons, with Kiko being out in space doing some different things, but it's kind of all went away in the last couple of games. So I would say I thought the linebackers were playing extremely well up to the Baltimore game, and then like everything else in the last 3 weeks, it's hard to put your finger on anybody that's played very well in the course of those last 3 weeks.
Right. So if a team has five losses, it has a list of problems.
Yes.
I would say that is not in the top six problems
no,
that it has.
No. It certainly needs to be tweaked.
Yes.
They certainly need to play better.
Yes.
But you're right. If I'm saying, hey, this is the reason why,
right.
that's way
not
down
it.
The list.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. Matt Burke seems a little conservative. No blitzes on third down. Front four inconsistent. Well, it's
the player's job to get there. They've got – look – Cameron Wake is highly paid and highly accomplished. And Ndamukong Suh is the most expensive NFL defensive player. They've got the rookies. I get that. Charles Harris is a first-round draft pick. And Andre Branch signed a big contract this year. They are expected to do what they were expected to do when they were drafted number one or highly paid as free agents. And so the fact that they're not getting there, I don't see that as a your defensive coordinator is too conservative. No. I see that as you're highly –
guys need to get off blocks and make plays.
Yeah, you got to make plays at some point.
And Andre Branch, for the most part, he's on passing situations. He's out for Charles Harris on one side, and you got Cam on the other side. So, but look,
sometimes they use Andre
inside in the tackle position. Yeah, I got you. Is Jordan Phillips healthy? I haven't seen him flash recently. Well, start picking out names who you've seen flash in the last 3 weeks, and then we'll put him on the list somewhere in there. Anyway, that's going to do it, Armando. We're going to head out of here. This hasn't been a very fun show. It hasn't been a very fun week.
I'm sorry.
It hasn't been a very fun month.
Forgive me.
No.
It's all my fault. I did it all.
Oh, my goodness, you know. I'm just waiting for one of those. I'm waiting for a Monday where I can wake up and really feel good about the week that I'm getting ready to face.
Hey, you know what? So I've covered every Super Bowl since 1990, save two. I'm still waiting for that one where I cover.
Where you get to cover this football team?
I cover this football team in the Super Bowl.
I'm with you on that.
That's what I'm eager to see. Yeah.
Tom Fournette's birthday tomorrow. Let's give him a little shout out here. Why don't you give him a little happy birthday, Tom?
Happy birthday,
Tommy
Tom.
Boy. Happy birthday. We're not going to get you anything, though. That was your birthday present. That's going to do it. Armando, thanks for coming by, man.
My pleasure.
Always
anytime,
a pleasure.
Bro.
Armando Salguero, at Armando Salguero on Twitter, and you can catch him each and every day at the Miami Herald, whether you get it delivered to you or digitally. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't read the newspaper anymore. The physical newspaper. I'm all digital.
Okay.
I've gone high tech, all
very
physical,
nice.
All physical, which I never
this
thought.
This is the newspaper.
Never thought I would do it. In fact, I went to the barber shop the other day, and they had a newspaper, and I sat there and read the newspaper, and I go, man, I can't believe I'm doing this. And I can't believe how thin that newspaper is. That's the other thing I thought. All right, that's going to do it. We'll be back with you on Monday. Hopefully we're talking about a win over the Bucks. That would make everybody feel better, and it would make my week get off to a better start than it has over the last 3 weeks. We'll see you then. Have a good weekend.